Well, certainly it's good to see each and every one that could make it out this morning. We're especially thankful for our visitors. Brother Raimundo has brought a friend. His name is Jeremias, and if you don't know the Spanish language really, really well, it's coincidental that his name is the same as the prophet from whom we read this morning, Jeremiah. So we have a prophet among us. We're also good to have Luis and Andrea here this morning and your family. We have much to be thankful for, and guests would like for that to be the theme of our study this morning as we look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and verses 15 through 16. Our subject this morning is Do Not Forget to Do Good. All right, Do Not Forget to Do Good, Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 15 and 16. If we want to fulfill the chief purpose for which God has created us, we must live to glorify God so that our joy spills over into continual praise of God. And I'm quoting from Isaiah 43 and verse 7, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him." And our text this morning actually links or invokes the two great commandments. The Bible links the first great commandment to love God with our total being with the second great commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I think to move to a monastery where we cut ourselves off from others and live in perpetual praise to God falls short of what actually pleases Him. God wants us to offer our lives as continual sacrifices of praise to Him, but also, Hebrews says, not to neglect doing good and sharing. In other words, we glorify God both by a life that continually spills over in praise to God and by practical good deeds. And our text this morning will make that point. Through Christ, we should offer to God sacrifices of praise and good deeds which please Him. Now, I found one commentator's perspective to be quite interesting. The author may have been responding here, as he seems to be in Hebrews 13:10, to an objection that was raised by the Jews toward these Jewish believers in Christ. In verse 10, the objection was, "We have an altar in Jerusalem, but you Christians have no altar." And the author emphatically counters, "But we do have an altar, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our once-for-all offering for sin." Coupled with that objection is the one that he answers in our text this morning. "We Jews offer our sacrifices on the altar at the temple, but you have no such sacrifices in your worship." We don't come together this morning and kill a bull and put him out here on an altar and light it on fire and offer that up to God as a sacrifice, you see. Now, the Jews regarded this idea, this concept of sacrifice, as very important. So think about it. A Jew comes into Christ, he's baptized into Christ, he comes into the new covenant. He wants to know, well, there's still some rules, right? And probably one of the first things he wanted to know is, do we have any sacrifices? Or is there anything to be sacrificed? Or is that whole concept gone? And the author counters in our text this morning, true, we no longer offer animal sacrifices because Jesus is the complete and final sacrifice for our sins. We need no other sacrifice for atonement. But as Christians, we do offer sacrifices to God, not to gain the forgiveness of sins, because we possess the forgiveness of sins in Christ. Our sacrifices are thank offerings. And they're not just occasional, the writer says, but they are continual. We offer the sacrifices of praise and the good deeds. And these are the two sacrifices that God wants from us as Christians. The first is word, and the second is deed. As we read in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, for our introductory reading this morning, I want to have that introduction so this would flow perhaps a little bit better. "Therefore, by Him," that is Jesus Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." You know what kind of sacrifice God wants? He doesn't want animals. He doesn't want barley. He wants the praise of our lips. He wants the work of our hands. So that introduction this morning, our lesson will flow quite quickly. There will be four major topics that this text introduces to us. We want to look at those as we understand how to worship God in word and in deed. Before we continue, we'd like to approach God's throne in a word of prayer. Our lesson this morning definitely will fall into the stir up your minds by way of remembrance category. And as I said, our text this morning, Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 15 and 16, makes four points. And the first point that the text makes is found here in the first three words, therefore by him, or through him then, or through Jesus Christ, everything that we do in the Christian life is through Christ. Everything. The phrase, therefore by him, or through him, is emphatic in the Greek text. And we would be remiss if we did not emphasize it as we studied the text this morning. The only way that anyone can approach God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If we try to offer our own good works to God apart from Christ, Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says that he would view them as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do. There's no great act. There's no great offering that we can bring to the Creator of the universe. Men have approached God through sacrifices since the beginning of human history. Remember that Cain brought a sacrifice from the fruit of the ground, whatever he had raised, his grain or his fruit. His brother Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, Genesis 4, 3 and 4. Surely, God was not arbitrary in rejecting Cain's sacrifice and accepting Abel's. You see, the only sacrifice acceptable to approach God was one that involved the shedding of blood of an innocent substitute. The entire Old Testament system of sacrifices that was later instituted under Moses pointed ahead to God's supreme and final sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died as a substitute for all that believe in him. And the author of Hebrews has made it abundantly clear that Jesus fulfilled in his death what the Old Testament sacrificial system could only point to. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices of animals, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Animal sacrifices every year could not do what Jesus Christ's blood did. And he goes on to talk about Christ doing God's will by offering himself as the sacrifice for our sins in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 10 through 14. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, and that is us, through him. Everything in the Christian life is through Christ. Christ's one offering of himself completed, fulfilled, and ended the Jewish sacrificial system. So if we were to offer animal sacrifices now, we would be denying the blood, the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ, which was made for our sins. Now, once we've come in faith to Christ as the substitute for our sins, and we are baptized for the remission of sins, brethren, we must continue to come to Christ for everything in the Christian life. As Paul says in Ephesians 1 and 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So the only way that we can come to God in the first place is through faith in Christ. The only way that we can be sustained in the Christian life is through faith in Christ. Everything in the Christian life is through Christ. Everything we do in the Christian life must be done through Christ. It is an affront to Christ's sacrifice to go to another mediator, to go to another person, whether it's the Virgin Mary or some saint, or whether it's a pope or an earthly priest. Christ alone is our high priest. Everything is through him. And that's point number one. Praise to God is not just a nice thing you do once in a while when you feel like it. It's not a suggestion for something you might try when you have nothing better to do. It's a command to praise God that is to permeate everything we do. As the author exhorts here in our text, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Praise to God should be the whole tenor of our lives. Through Christ, we should offer to God continual sacrifices of praise, as we read in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. True praise must come from the heart. And so the command implies and demands that our hearts are right before Him. God sees our hearts, Hebrews 4:13. If in our hearts we constantly grumble and complain about the way God is treating us, and then we come to church and put on our happy face, and we sing praises to God, are we not being hypocrites? True praise and genuine good deeds flow from a heart that is satisfied in God and His abundant grace in Jesus Christ. I heard a phrase this week that I thought is just absolutely perfect for explaining what I'm talking about. Do not live your life in the bitter world of if only. If only I'd married someone else. If only I'd taken a different job. If only I didn't have the kids that I have, and you know where I'm headed. You're looking at what you don't have, and you're looking at what you didn't achieve, and you will be bitter, and you will live a life of regret, and you will not be filled with praises to God. And the writer this morning is saying, be thankful, give praises to God for where you are, for who you're with, for what you're doing, and if you don't like it, make it better. Get closer to Christ, is what he's saying. Live your life in praise to God. Now, the Bible repeatedly stresses the importance of praise, and I have here a few samples. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Psalm 50:14. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to thy name, O Most High, Psalm 92:1. Now, there are many, many more. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. And the next verse is probably one of the leading reasons I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. If we turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Brethren, that is our text this morning, pure and simple. That's the same thought and the same pattern. I'll read it again. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Our verse 15, therefore by him, Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving should permeate our speech, our songs, and our prayers. Praise, you see, flows from a heart that has been brought into submission to God and to his word. And when we see that his justice and holiness, along with his mercy and love, are upheld at the cross where the Son of God bore the wrath that was due for our sins, brethren, we continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to him. And I'm preaching to myself as well as to you when I say, let's work at casting off every thought of grumbling or discontent and becoming a people who are to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 5 and 9 says it this way. You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, our text this morning not only invokes the first great commandment to express our love of God through genuine praises, but also the second commandment, and that is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Third point, through Christ we should offer to God continual sacrifices of good deeds. Doing good is a general term for all kinds of practical ministry to others, whereas sharing means sharing the essentials of life with those who lack them and are unable to work to obtain them. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The Bible is clear that religion that is only godly and does not extend to others is fun. James 1:27 states, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. You would think there would be some great theological, philosophical statement coming, but he says, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And he goes on in James 2:15 and 16, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Do good to one another. Share and minister to the needs of others. This is what God is pleased with. This is your spiritual sacrifice. Everything you do in your Christian life is a sacrifice to God. What are you giving him? What are we giving him? Are we giving him the halt and the maimed and the crippled and the lame? Or do we give him our best? Apostle John echoes this in 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Isn't it amazing that we see this same thought occurring over and over and over in the New Testament? Ryan's talked about the importance of repetition. Here it is, folks. This thought is repeated over and over. If you want to be, if you want your good deeds to be acceptable to God, take care and do good to others. Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, I'll confess, in our modern world, we're bombarded, we're saturated, we're inundated with the needs. Commercials on TV, the news of folks, nations in distress. It's not easy to filter out and decide, you know, what's important, who we should give to, how much we should give. Brethren, don't let that stop us from being zealous for good deeds, especially to one another. Titus 2 and verse 14. Our text now makes one last point. God is pleased with our sacrifices of praise and good deeds. So, I like the way one commentator put it. Isaiah is one of my favorite books, as you all know. Do not emulate Israel in this. Israel was a disaster at sacrifices of praise and good deeds. Verse 16. In Isaiah 58, verse 2, he tells them, you're careful to appear to be religious. But look again at Isaiah 58, 6 through 7. And I just want to say, is this not what the New Testament echoes over and over and over again? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? He says, this is the true worship that I want. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, that is your brethren. There it is. Echoed throughout all of the New Testament is this passage out of Isaiah. This is true worship. This is what God wants. This is our sacrifice of good deeds. He says, hey, you know your religion looks good on the surface. You got some sacrifices going on. Y'all are real good about tithing the mint out of your garden. That's not what I'm asking for. Didn't I tell you to clothe the people who are naked and give food to the hungry? That's what I'm after. That's what God wants. Such sacrifices refers both to our sacrifices of praise and of good deeds. If we offer them apart from Christ, they would be a vain and offensive attempt to commend ourselves to God. But when we offer them through Christ, God is pleased with them. The aim of our lives should be to please God out of love for Him. Paul prayed for the Colossians, Colossians 1 and 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, he says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him, that is God. So, as we draw to a close, we should live every day with the realization that someday we will stand before God. And we should live so that we will hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Matthew 25, 23. If through Christ we offer continual praises of a sacrifice, if we offer sacrifices of praise and good deeds, we will rejoice someday to hear those words from His lips. God has created you for the purpose that you would live to glorify Him. How do you do that? By living in a manner pleasing to Him. How do you do that? By coming in faith and obedience to Jesus Christ and trusting in His shed blood as the only way to be reconciled to the Holy God. Having trusted in Christ, then, you please God by daily offering your life to Him as a sacrifice of praise and good deeds. So I put together four practical items that we can take with us as we leave this morning to help in our praise and in our worship of God. Number one, I'm going to suggest that we steep ourselves in the Psalms. The book of Psalms is filled with praises to God. Turn the Psalms into your praise by praying them back to God, you see. Use them, memorize them. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I'll bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous works. That's just a sample. Pray those back to God. Live those. Grandparents, you know, all of us. One generation shall praise thy works to another and declare thy mighty acts. That's our job as parents and grandparents, to declare that to our children and grandchildren. Number two, get a song book, get a hymnal. Learn and sing the great hymns of the faith. Sing them during the day to remind yourself about the greatness of God. Music is powerful, and music is a great way to remember things that we would otherwise easily forget. Even those of us that can't sing, we can do this and sing to ourselves during the day. Number three, look for opportunities to serve rather than expecting to be served. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Mark 10, 45. There are many needs in this church and in this community to do good and to share. Just have to learn to look for them. Look for opportunities to serve. Don't wait for Brother Casey to come up and bring you whatever. Dozen cookies, okay? Don't wait. You be the one that does those things. All right, number four. I'm preaching at myself here. My mornings are tough. Make it your first business of every day to find delight and joy in God. After all, our chief end is to glorify God by praising Him forever. Make that the first business of your day. Praise, look to God, find delight. God, thank you for the day. Thank you for the good that you've done. And not at all the mistakes that I made, right? Make it your first business every day. I like changed the title this morning of our lesson. I went from do not forget to do good deeds to praise God in word and deed. And that is the Christian life. Never like to close without offering an invitation. If you're here, if we can assist you in any way, won't you come all together? We stand and sing.